You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful friend to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Eder Val, owner of Artisan Fruit. Eder, how you doing?
Doing great today.
Awesome. That is what I like to hear. So you have Artisan Fruit. How about you tell us, what is Artisan Fruit?
So Artisan Fruit is basically a business where we create art using fruit. Mm-hmm. And we work mainly with a lot of hotels. And
sure.
We're trying to expand into the general market.
Okay.
But imagine having a watermelon, and then we'll turn that watermelon into a rose.
Mm-hmm.
Or a logo. Or something that speaks to you.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say that I've seen your stuff, and you're essentially making a sculpture out of fruit.
Yeah.
So the downside is that fruit doesn't last. It has to be either eaten or tossed, right?
Yes, yes. Our biggest complaint is that it's too beautiful to eat.
Ah.
But we'll take that complaint all day,
sure,
every day.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you don't eat it, the mold does. So somebody's got to. That's awesome. How did you get into this? Sculpting and all that jazz.
So when I was younger, my dad used to make apple swans when we were little.
Okay.
But, you know, we used to think it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're talking like he would just carve a swan?
Yeah,
out
he would
of an
just
apple?
Carve a swan. He used to work in one of the synagogues in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And so some French cook showed him how to make this.
Sure.
These apple swans. So anyways, fast forward about, you know, 20-some years later.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mother's Day, and obviously I didn't buy my mom anything, so I'm like
sure.
rushing.
Huh.
So I end up going to the store,
mm-hmm.
and I buy chocolate-covered strawberries, and I paid $43 for a dozen of them.
Holy cow.
High demand, you know. I was,
those better
I was
been
in
tasty.
A pinch, and I was like, well, I better go. I better pay for it.
Sure.
As I walked out the store, I just realized, I was like, well, how much did it really cost to make?
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the local Woodman's, and, you know, it cost me like $5.50.
Mm-hmm.
To make the entire dozen.
Sure.
With extra to spare.
Sure.
And I couldn't believe it, but I realized, you know, it's a business. People are paying for it. I paid for it. So I was kind of like surprised. So I said, hey, I remember, Dad, do you still make those apple swans?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, maybe. So we went on YouTube to like relearn how to make the apple swans.
Sure.
And we thought, oh, this is cool. This is cute.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do cute. You know, you can't sell cute. You have to sell like elegance.
Right.
So In that same YouTube search, there was a link from apple swans to watermelon carvings,
mm-hmm.
honeydew carvings,
mm-hmm.
cantaloupe carvings.
Okay.
And we just started looking at those videos. And we would spend a lot of time looking at a 2-second clip of how this person was using the knives to carve the fruit.
Oh, interesting.
And so I spent a lot of weekends looking at 30-second clips over and over for hours on end,
mm-hmm.
to try to learn how to do this.
Sure.
And we spent a lot of weekends carving watermelons, eating watermelons, and then I made one mistake. And that mistake allowed me to create the petal.
Okay.
Which then allowed me to create the entire design.
Uh-huh.
And so I just tell people that. Now, what you're seeing, yeah, you think it's beautiful, but to me, it's like this eureka moment that I had.
Sure.
That I keep repeating on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which you would not have had if you wouldn't have had access to the YouTube videos or your dad covering or sculpting apples essentially into swans. That has just evolved over the course of time.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. So at what point did you decide, hey, this is a great idea, let's go beyond giving this to my mom, let's start a business?
So we decided, well, you know, this is great. You know, maybe we're going to have a lot of quinceañeras,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm Mexican-American. So we're
mm-hmm.
like, oh, this would be great for quinceañeras.
Sure.
Let's buy some chocolate fountains, some tables, some risers,
mm-hmm.
and then let's set up some tables and see if they look pretty.
Sure.
And so we bought all those things. Everything came together. We had to learn a lot, though, because we needed to get the LLC.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to get the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to get the certification for food management.
Sure.
So it was a long process.
Right.
But it was about 6 months to get everything together. And besides, you know, I was in a tight budget, so I didn't want to spend a lot of money.
Right.
So I had to learn everything myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like what do I need? When do I need to get it? How to get a savings account, a checking account, or a business account.
Sure.
And an EIN number.
Mm-hmm.
So once all that was going on, I was still thinking, okay, this is still doable. So we did a bunch of wedding expos.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, that's so we thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the beginnings and the struggles. So we did maybe three or four wedding expos.
Okay.
And we had a tremendous response. People were like, oh, my God, I've never seen this before. This is fantastic. The response was great. But the actual conversion was very, very poor.
Oh, this is super magical, except yeah. I'll never pay for it or order
right,
it.
Right, right.
Oh, that's the worst.
That's the worst. And so we basically must have spent like $3,000 on the equipment, the rental fees.
Sure.
You know, the booth expos and all this and that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they are not cheap.
They're not cheap. They're not cheap. So we ended up like our ROI, return on investment, was $0.
All right. Or negative.
Negative. $0. Yeah. Oh, it's even worse to say that. You're right. Right. You're right. It was minus $3,000.
Yeah. Sorry.
No.
I just opened that wound.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about that one. So we're like, oh my goodness. We're like, this is a total failure.
Mm-hmm.
We just, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was going through a lot of conferences with the other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were talking about, well, you know, just got to pivot.
Sure.
Focus on a different market or sure. do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad at the time was working at one of the hotels here in Madison. And he's like, why don't we just do a couple carvings, just simple watermelon designs, and give them to the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spent 4 hours at the kitchen carving two designs. Cost me $11. Watermelons.
Okay. A couple watermelons and some knives in my time,
right?
Sure.
And we went there, we dropped them off, and the owner happened to walk by, and he really like loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, whoever made these, they need to bring them here every home Badger game.
Oh, nice.
And special events.
Sure.
And so that $11 investment turned into, you know, $7,000+.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Very good. Very cool. And they're still our best customers
mm-hmm.
as we continue to grow because they see the value. And
mm-hmm.
One of the owners told me that they had one of our designs. We made a Bucky Badger design.
Oh, nice.
And one of their guests was even willing to pay $100 for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was really cool. And there's a lot of wow factor that goes into it.
Sure.
A lot of people haven't seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part is you don't need to travel abroad to see this anymore. Like mm-hmm. Now we brought it to the Midwest.
Sure.
And it's custom designs as well. So mm-hmm. we can do fonts, logos, and it's just, you know, it speaks to the individual client. And that's
so you're
great.
Doing names, happy birthday, corporate logo, whatever.
Yes.
To bring a little pizzazz to whatever party.
Yeah.
Or whatever celebration that these things are being introduced to.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So we ended up pivoting from, you know, big tables
mm-hmm.
to just the actual watermelon designs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great for a while. And then as we continue to grow, we're like, well, what can we add to make us more valuable?
Mm-hmm.
So we incorporated fruit bouquets.
Okay.
So now we have the mini watermelons
mm-hmm.
with a mini rose in it.
Okay.
But we also add strawberries covered in chocolate.
Sure.
And so now it's like it's a visual factor, but mm-hmm. it's also an interactive factor.
Sure.
Because now you can actually eat from the display.
Gotcha. So instead of having to slice up the rose watermelon, essentially, you can just grab a chocolate-covered strawberry, and you've accomplished touching on just about every sense that people have, right?
Yes, essentially.
That's awesome.
And the best part is that, you know, if you know, it's you can never go wrong with a little heart and a person's name.
Mm-hmm.
That's universal.
Sure.
And so if you're ever in a pinch for a birthday party or mm-hmm. a anniversary,
mm-hmm.
heart and a little name on it with the strawberries, great. Plus, we made ourselves competitive in pricing.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that we're not a big business and we mm-hmm. don't have a lot of money for media coverage and this and that.
Sure.
But we do understand that by providing a unique product, we can actually sell to a unique clientele and lower the price too.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So I think it's awesome how what you're offering is essentially bringing whatever party or celebration or even lobby, mm-hmm. bringing the level of that up a crazy notch to something that's not just flowers or it's not just something that people see or almost expect.
Yeah.
It's something that where people are pausing and there's that wow factor that you mentioned.
Yeah.
That people are excited to see it and they're probably studying a little bit and thinking, oh my gosh, who put this thing together?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that it just helps, I imagine, the host feel that much better about their place. And there's going to be that one thing that people remember in a room.
Right.
It may be the curtains or the carpeting or the nice person behind the desk or something like that. But mm-hmm. more than likely, it's going to be this watermelon carving.
Yes.
So that is awesome.
Yeah.
So super memorable. And there's something fun about being in the business of making people happy.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. When we first started, like I said, we did a whole bunch of wedding expos.
Sure.
And we weren't getting anything. And mm-hmm. When we started just focusing on the centerpieces,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were like, who's going to buy this? You know, we had all this self-doubt, like,
sure,
who's gonna buy this? And actually, fun fact, at the time we were selling our centerpieces for $85.
Okay.
And we literally had nobody buy it.
Sure.
Luckily, I went to this campfire welcoming home thing. So a friend of mine had bought a new home and invited a bunch of people. So I was at this campfire and I'm telling people my idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up meeting this lady who basically used to work in the food industry.
Okay.
And I tell her, this is how much I'm selling my centerpieces for.
Mm-hmm.
Her response is the same. She's like, wow, it's amazing. What's the cost? So I tell her, $85.
Mm-hmm.
She says, that's your problem.
Charging too low?
You're too cheap.
Sure.
I was like, what do you mean I'm too cheap? You know, I'm trying to make it more accessible to people. Right. I was like, no. You're too cheap.
Right.
And you don't, because of the pricing is so low,
right,
there's no value added.
Yes. The value is in the price. I love that.
And I was oh my goodness. At that point, we hadn't sold anything, right?
Sure.
So we're like, pivot?
What do you have to lose?
What do we got to lose? 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from a restaurant owner, and he's catering this wedding, and he saw us
mm-hmm.
somewhere, and he's like, I would like two centerpieces.
Mm-hmm.
How much are they?
Mm-hmm.
Per centerpiece. And I, you know, this was the moment of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I was really nervous.
So it comes down to, do you have the stones to actually tell them?
Yeah.
Take this lady's advice, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And apply the values and the price principle.
Yeah.
Or do you just fall back?
Right. So that's exactly what's going through my mind. And mm-hmm. so as that's happening, I'm stuttering and I'm nervous. And I know the person can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I say, oh, it'll be $140
mm-hmm.
per centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person goes, okay.
Yes.
Give me two.
Without even a hiccup.
Yeah, no hiccup from that person. He knew exactly the value. And he was like, okay, give me two.
And then you're thinking, what just happened?
Yeah. Then I hung up and we had a little family meeting.
Sure.
We're like, somebody actually just bought two.
Sure.
Centerpieces from us
mm-hmm.
for $140 each.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire family was like, what is going on? This
sure.
is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, now as the years progressed, you know, when people ask me how much is it, you know, say $140, you know, mm-hmm. with a lot more confidence.
Sure.
And, you know, you learn how to balance your customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's customers out there that will want to bring the price down.
Sure.
But I actually, you know.
Don't work with them.
Yeah. At this point, you're like, okay, if we can't come to
yes. you know,
a reasonable price.
Right. Or not.
Yeah.
If they want something cheaper, they can totally just buy a watermelon, not carve it, and set it on the table.
Pretty much.
Maybe it'll have the same effect if it's a really boring party.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that table with the plain watermelon sitting on it? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. When talking with people about people that try to knock you down on price, it's clear that they don't value what you have.
Yeah.
And so sometimes your gut reaction is just go on defense. Well, it costs this much because of skill and with education and there's throwaway and delivery and blah, blah, blah. You can include all the expenses that you want. But in the end, if they don't value it, they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they start kind of knocking down on price, I'm just like, walk away. This is clearly not for you.
Pretty much.
Walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. And even our fruit bouquets, when we started in the beginning, we started selling them at $35.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were getting a couple being sold, but there was no, like, money being generated.
Sure.
You know, it was almost like,
I don't know how you could make money charging that low.
Right? And so now people call me and they're like, well, how much is it? And I'm like, oh, there's $65 to $80.
Sure.
And now people will say, okay, well, I'll take one
mm-hmm.
or I'll take two.
Mm-hmm.
But the pricing is much better for us as a business.
Sure.
But it also gives us that value
mm-hmm.
because you can't go. We don't have competitors.
Right.
And that's what makes us stand out as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have this little anecdote that I tell my students. I tell them that I bought this ring for my wife. It's a beautiful ring, right?
Yes.
The beautiful ring that I got at the pawn shop.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know anything about diamonds, but I know that it was big and it was shiny.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be good. And the pawn shop guy had some little piece of paper, authenticity, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. You pay a few $100 for it. And I went on eBay and I got the little box from Tiffany's. And so I put the ring in the box.
Yeah.
I proposed to my wife, so she thinks the ring is from Tiffany's. So she thinks I paid thousands of dollars for this thing, this rock. This shiny boulder is what it comes down to. I wouldn't know the difference between that and a piece of glass. Anyway, so she's showing it to all her friends, and you can see in pictures, she's showing off her left hand, right? Look at my ring, look at my ring.
Yeah.
What I failed to do was throw away the receipt for the pawn shop. So 10 years into our marriage, she finds this receipt. She sees this ring that I paid a few $100 for, where she had the impression I paid a few $1,000 for it.
Yeah.
So now her impression of, one, me, and two, the ring, have dropped significantly because of this little piece of paper that I should have tossed years ago.
Yeah.
So now in pictures and stuff like that, she's covering up her left hand. She's not showing it off to her friends. And I say, what changed? The ring itself didn't change. It was her perception of the value of that ring that changed.
Yeah.
So that's what people are selling, is this perception of value. You see it with fancy cars, fancy clothes, all this kind of stuff. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're better. For all I know, that ring was just a piece of broken glass in there. Mm-hmm. I don't think my wife knows either.
Right.
And just so the world knows, that's a fake story.
Oh, good.
But you could totally have, like, that's the truth.
Right.
Right? Yeah. It's the perception of value is what it comes down to. And you have to understand something, especially when it comes to jewelry or when it comes to carved fruit or something like that. When it comes to healthcare, there's a skill involved that goes beyond just the, oh, this is a watermelon, right?
Right.
If it was really just a watermelon, you sell it for $5 and whatever watermelons go for now.
Yeah, yeah.
And move on with your life. But it's much more than that.
Right.
Something that people themselves can't do. You can't commoditize it.
Yeah.
And once you can't commoditize it, you can pretty much charge whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because then the appreciation is in the skill.
Yes.
You put a watermelon in front of me, and you could tell me to study that, James, and it's just round and green, pink in the middle. But something like that piece of art that you guys have, oh, my gosh, I could look at that for, well, maybe not hours, but quite a long time.
Yeah.
And just study, what did it take to actually do this to this watermelon and not have it fall apart or just become a crumbly mess?
Yeah.
Which that alone, there's skill involved in that.
There is. And, you know, as you're going through the process, you don't think of it as skill. You just think of it as, like, something you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take a step back, you realize, no, this took a long time to get.
Right.
There's a lot of science. There's a lot of patience. And a lot of people don't have that.
No. And the majority of us do not.
And that's the value that we bring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But along with the process, too, is like when you start a small business, you need to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because people need to, like you said, if the people wanted to buy a watermelon, they could go and buy it.
Yeah.
But when they see us, we've developed a trust.
Mm-hmm.
They know our branding.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen us, you know, at this expo, the other expo.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's a sense of confidence when they're making a purchase with
us.
And that's the best part about it, too.
Mm-hmm. Then I imagine there comes even more, because it comes down to the service portion of it. Because they actually have to get that thing delivered.
Yes.
And set up and all that jazz, which I imagine there's a science to that as well.
Yeah, well, we made the signs very simple. We've done a lot of research on what kind of stands to use.
Okay.
Because when you're driving, you know, you hit the brakes hard. We want to make something that's stable for you, that you don't have to, like, extend your hand out to make sure it doesn't fall over.
It.
Because when we're looking at other competitors, you know, in California or whatever, they're boxing, their designs. If you hit the brakes, that thing's going to topple over.
Oh.
And so, you know, it adds, you know, danger factor.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that. You want peace of mind. So most of the deliveries we make are done by me or my father.
Sure.
We do offer like a wow guarantee. So if you don't like it, if nobody says wow or it's amazing.
Sure.
Just give me a call and I'll give you your money back.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's that simple. And why we have that wow guarantee? Well, basically because, you know, we want to establish ourselves as a great business. And we have no problem returning your money.
Sure.
And, you know, we might even give you a new one. See if you like that one better.
Sure.
Because, you know, in the business world, if you have an unhappy customer, that person is going to tell 9 other people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we want to make sure that we avoid that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I always think of these. My wife used to watch these cake decorating shows.
I still do, yeah.
Where they make some fantastic, elaborate cake, and then they have to transport it from wherever the bakery to wedding or whatever party.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's almost harder than building the cake.
Yeah.
Because there's so many variables that you have to try to account for, right? Traffic and bumps and, oh my gosh, what do we have for a loading dock? Or is it raining and all that kind of stuff?
Outside temperatures, yeah.
Oh my God, we're in the bakery. You're like, okay, we got some structure. This is what we got to do. We have all our ingredients. Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how there's art and then there's transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And the transportation, I would assume, almost gets forgotten about.
Yeah. So that's the thing, too. I had to make sure that the bases that we bought were sturdy enough.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the beginning, we didn't have the nice bases that we have now.
Sure.
So I had to basically, I found some styrofoam and I made holes that were big enough for my bases to fit
in. Oh, nice. Okay.
And I doubled in thickness. Mm-hmm. So that means whenever I like hit the brakes, it wouldn't move.
Sure.
And because during the summer, it's really hot.
Oh, yeah.
I actually bought more foam and I made my own custom little temporary cool place.
Oh, sure.
So,
sure.
You know, I put so it
stuff
in
stuff doesn't wilt or anything like that. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, it's 90 degrees outside, but at your car, it's like 100 something.
Oh, yeah.
You put that thing in there for two or five minutes. That's
you're
just
it. Just baking
done.
It. Yeah.
You know, so we made our own little temporary cooler.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a bunch of those like gel packs.
Sure.
So we like preloaded those. Mm-hmm. So kept everything nice and cold in the immediate area.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a process that you have to add on as you're learning. Right now it's great because, you know, it's cold. So I don't have to worry about it.
Right. Non-issue.
Right. But it's part of the process
too. Sure.
Yeah.
I imagine when snow comes and you have to deal with slippery roads and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But then,
Or walking up the sidewalk to this place with your creations and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you have a website.
I do.
What's the website?
It's artisanfruit.com. It's
okay.
artisanfruit.com.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. And where can people find stuff like this? Do they just find it at grocery stores or do they call you up or how do they get this?
We're a small business, so you can send me a text or send me an email or look us up on Instagram, send us a message there.
Okay.
And I mean, simple, quick, and easy.
Sure. It's at Artisan Fruit, I imagine.
Yep, at Artisan Fruit.
And then what's the phone number?
Phone number is 608-520-2119.
Sure. Awesome.
Yeah.
So now I want to downshift into the actual business, the nuts and bolts of it.
Sure.
So we touched on the art and transportation and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Now we got to figure out, okay, this is currently a full-time gig for you or a part-time gig?
This is still a part-time gig.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is the idea for this to become a full-time or is this just kind of okay?
The idea is to become a full-time, replace my general income with the business income.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. And for that to happen, will you stick around Madison or the Madison area or do you have to expand out?
Currently, we want to stick around the Madison area. There's still a lot of hotels we need to contact. There's still a lot of you know, synagogues we need to contact.
Sure.
And there's a lot of events there that happen too.
Oh, there's a ton.
You know?
Yeah.
And so one hotel could generate upwards, you know, of 10,000 plus a year.
Okay.
For us.
Okay.
So ideally, getting 10 hotels would be a great start.
Sure.
You know? So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you ever see there being an issue where the market essentially will become saturated or they're just like, oh, another one of Editor's Creations, I'm sorry? Or it would be so much marketing for that to happen that it's a non-issue.
Yeah, I don't see that as an issue at this point.
Okay.
Because everything that we do is unique.
Oh, so sure. I forgot about that portion.
Yeah.
Sure.
So even if it's a Bucky Badger for a football game, the pattern behind the Bucky Badger, like the floral design behind it, is always different. You know, and we're always combining different fruits.
Sure.
To make the design look bigger, but more colorful as well.
Nice.
For example, we had a Thanksgiving at the hotel, and it said Happy Thanksgiving. And in orange, we added two cantaloupes.
Okay.
So the design becomes bigger.
Oh, nice.
And brighter
okay.
and more colorful.
Sure.
So we can add radishes.
Sure.
You know, we can add celery. We can add red onions just to make it pop more.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you ever, I'm going to run down a little side tangent quick. Do you ever do a show where you're actually, people can see you carving these things?
Yes, yes. So at the expos,
okay,
we like to do a simple rose. Well, for me, it's a simple rose design. For everybody else, it's like a huge wow factor. But I needed to learn how to carve away from me.
Sure.
Because typically when I'm carving, you know, for an event, I'm carving for myself. So I'm carving, looking at the design. But now because we're showcasing it to people, so I have to carve it the other
way. Otherwise, they see the back end of the watermelon. Who cares about that?
Who cares about that? So now I've learned a new trait there. But yeah, people like it.
That's
and
cool.
So, and we've also actually expanded into classes.
Okay, really?
So we don't teach the actual floral patterns, but we do teach the apple swans.
Okay.
Or the little radish mouses, or apple owls.
Okay.
It's just something to get the kids out and practice with.
Sure.
And yeah, it's great.
Huh. And where do you teach those at?
So you teach at the Meadow Ridge Library from time to time. So we'll post something up on our Facebook page.
Nice.
And people can check it out. And it's free to attend as well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Do you get quite a few people to stuff like that?
Yeah, we get about 15, 16 people.
Okay. That's probably plenty. That's enough people.
Capacity is like 19. So that's good. Yeah.
That's enough people with knives running around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, that's a lot to take care of. That's awesome. So you're planning on growth or in the process of growing.
Yes.
What have been some of your challenges or pains as you started this and are in the process of growing it?
The beginning was imagery, photography.
Okay.
We didn't, you know, we had our cell phones. Mm-hmm. Back then it was my Galaxy S3 or something.
Okay.
You know, really bad.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And so I had to fork up some money to eventually hire a photographer to take really nice pictures.
Sure.
Of our designs, so that people could understand. Because, you know, when I used to go up to hotels, or people from the hotels, I would show them my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is what we do. And I, you know, swipe left or right on my phone. And, you know, they'd say, oh, okay, that's nice. So it wasn't very professional.
Sure.
But now we have the imagery. So when we have meetings, we're like, this is what we're doing. Here's our frequently asked questions section.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how long it's going to take us to make it. This is what you're getting out of it.
Sure.
So it's a lot more professional, a lot more concise. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that took a little time for that to evolve?
Oh, yeah. It took a lot longer, maybe like 6 to 8 months after the fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So when people see you at a show or a party or something like that, do the people running the party typically let you have business cards out or a little sticker or something like that?
Yeah, they'll let me have little posters or business cards out there.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll hand some out to some individual clients because sure. I've learned that it's not really that effective if I just give them out to everybody.
Sure.
Just to the ones that have that genuine response that come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then we make that one-on-one connection.
Sure. Gotcha. Gotcha. That's awesome. So what are you hoping to do for the future? Will it be more corporate stuff or will it be more one-on-one stuff? Will it be offered in stores where people can just pick it up at a grocery store kind of thing? Or
that's the thing. One thing about me is that, you know, numbers don't lie.
Okay.
And as we continue to grow, we have seen more revenue from hotels.
Okay.
But the possibility of the fruit bouquet expansion into floral shops or bakeries is also a great potential for us.
Okay.
And so we want to test that out this year.
Sure.
And so we're trying to contact different floral shops, different bakeries to see if they want to meet up with us so they can see our product firsthand.
Sure.
They can enjoy it. But basically the idea behind that would be the floral shops, they don't have to make the art.
Okay.
All they have to do is take the order in. Then they contact us, you know, and we do the order and we do the delivery.
Sure.
And so all the floral shops do is they collect a commission.
Okay.
So it prevents them from, you know, having to have an extra license.
Sure.
Extra insurance, delivery and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The hassle is gone for them. Mm-hmm. We do the rest for them. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you raised an interesting point in regards to the extra license. That's because you're dealing with food. So how big of a deal was that to get certified or authorized or whatever you have to do from health inspections and all that jazz?
Well, there's a food certification Safe Serve, I think it's called. There's a lot of different ways to go about it. One, you can go to Milwaukee and then take the class in a weekend.
Okay.
It's like a crash course.
Sure.
And take it. The another version that I took was maybe like a 6-week course.
Okay.
So every Saturday I was going to this class and learning about it. And then I took the exam afterwards.
Okay.
So it took a little longer. But it's a lot of fear, I think.
Lot of fear on behalf of...
Well, as being an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Because if I knew how to, like, get a LLC and an EIN number and I wasn't second-guessing myself, like, the process would have been a lot smoother.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I do.
You know, like, I would have taken the weekend course.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, what if I fail it?
Oh, you sure.
Know, what if this? What sure. if that? And I was like, well, screw this. I'm going to take the...
Sure.
The long way.
Sure.
And make sure I do it right the first time.
Sure. So it's a little bit of the fear of failure almost slowing you down.
Oh, yeah. All the time. You know, and I realize that I am my own biggest obstacle.
Sure.
I mean.
Absolutely.
Because right now, like, even when I'm trying to contact the floral shops, I'm sending emails out. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't I just call them?
Right.
You know, and some to other people, it might be like, oh, yeah, just give them a call. But it's like my own barrier that I've created in my head.
Sure.
And I don't like it. Like, I hate myself for it.
Sure.
But I know it's there, and I know it's a process that I need to get through. Because, you know, one thing I really want to do is just realize, you know, if this is going to be big or not, and then just move on from there. Right?
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. I've always told people, and I believe this myself, the limitation for any business comes down to management.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it comes down to what are the fears that that management has. Is it fear of failure? Is it fear of success?
Yeah.
Because I imagine there's going to come a time when you grow your business to the point where realistically it's time to leave your day job.
Right.
And when it's time to leave your day job, that's going to be like, oh.
Yeah.
Now you're letting go of that biweekly paycheck, paid vacations, insurance, blah, blah, blah. All these benefits and stuff like that that are all but guaranteed, as guaranteed as a day job can be.
Right.
And now relying on this business that you're growing to bring in constant revenue so that you can afford to live, mortgage, kids, blah, 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 right. all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
which that's going to be a huge step.
Yeah. But one thing too is like with meeting all these entrepreneurs, like you can't just like help but be inspired by them.
Oh, sure.
You know, and that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some of them will tell you their failures and you'll realize you're not alone.
No.
You know,
no,
and in
no.
that process, it just becomes great. Like, for example, I met a lady about a month ago at one of the events,
mm-hmm.
and she was selling kombucha.
Okay.
Which is kombucha is like a tea that's
okay.
generated from a fungus or a
okay
a mushroom.
Sure.
So, you know, I had my first try and I was like, oh, okay, big deal, you know, whatever.
right?
But she's out there hustling, right? She's out there selling and
sure.
pushing her product. And then last weekend or 2 weekends ago, she's on Shark Tank.
Really?
And you're like, what
this
the
is
heck?
A local person?
This is a local person.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Shark Tank made a deal. I think it was $150K for 10% with Lori Grenier and the other lady who does the Spanx. I forget. She doesn't come in on often. But yeah, $150K.
For 10%?
10%. She was actually having revenues of like $3.1 million a year.
Holy cow.
I know, but she's out there, right? She's still doing the basics, basically.
Yeah.
You know, she's still out there trying my kombucha. And I was like, oh, okay.
So her business is now valued over $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
$1.5 million.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good for her.
I know.
That's super cool.
Like, how does that happen?
And you're like, why am I not on Shark Tank?
You know? No, for me, at this point, I'm like, I'm glad I'm not because I don't have the infrastructure.
I suppose you couldn't. It's tough to scale.
Yeah, it's tough to scale at this point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you just get a bigger cauldron or a bigger knife or something. You need more use.
Well, in my research, I've discovered there's other ways of doing this.
Okay.
So if in the future we decide to go like a franchise route,
mm-hmm.
then I found some machines that'll help us with the process.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So that means that anybody that can like essentially pick up a knife, I can show you how to do the basics. And with the machine and the basics, you'll be able to do what I can do.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's great. And
I don't know if it's good or bad.
Well, it's good for me because one thing, I've always been like a teacher of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Like I believe that I can do anything.
Sure.
And that if I go to a different business or whatever and they teach me, they take the time to teach me, then I can learn and adapt and succeed in that.
Sure.
So I put it to the test. So I sat down with my mom and I was like, you're going to start carving roses. And she is like, what are you talking about? No, I'm not going to do this. This is crazy.
Sure.
You know, she's like, I'm not very coordinated. I'm not very patient. And I was like, well, we're going to sit here every Monday until you get it right. And yeah, you know, after about 6 weeks, she was able to carve her own designs.
Oh, very cool.
I know, which is great.
Uh-huh.
And then from time to time, she'll help me to carve some designs. And it's just great to know, validate my purpose.
Sure.
As a teacher.
Sure.
And so this is why, if in the future we choose to go a franchise route,
mm-hmm.
I'm really comfortable with teaching other people
nice.
The methods.
Nice. So you mentioned throughout this program, it's you and your dad, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So your dad's got a day job.
Mm-hmm.
So how much is it, 50-50, or how do you guys split that up?
Right now, it's 100% goes to the business.
Okay.
So all the money that's made, it goes right to the business, into packaging development, into websites,
okay.
into, you know, marketing,
mm-hmm.
and all that. So
still in the process of laying the foundation down.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the idea that your dad will quit his day job too?
No.
No, okay.
No, because so some of the designs we make, actually, the goal when we start the business, the goal is to have this wow factor.
Okay.
And so I have actually been doing this long enough that I can carve a really, really nice design in about 15 minutes.
Okay, sure.
And so it's really great to mm-hmm. be able to do that
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we can sell a centerpiece.
Sure.
For $140 in
sure.
15, 30 minutes.
Right. But then there's transportation.
Yeah, there's transportation and this and that.
Polishing the skill, marketing, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not quite 15 minutes, but I understand what you're
right,
saying.
Right.
Yeah.
So that gives me like peace of mind because if I could do 8 hours, you know, I can do a lot in those.
That's a lot of watermelons.
That's a lot of watermelons in one
sure.
day.
Sure.
So that I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever see yourself getting tired of it?
It's kind of peaceful for me.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't feel like work. I guess the only time I really do get stressed out is the last 30 minutes if the design is due within the hour.
Okay.
Those 30 minutes and I chopped off an eye.
Oh,
or
gotcha.
I chopped off an arm or something. And
sure.
I'm trying to fix it and I can't. That's the only times I really get stressed out. It's only happened once. We had a little princess that we were making. Had the dress, had the hair, And my dad was carving this one, and he chopped off the eye. And we, like, freaked out. We're trying to put it back in, and we had to scrap it.
Oh, no.
I know. It was horrible. And it was, like, it was already, like, 1 in the morning.
Oh, no.
And we're like, oh, my goodness. So we came out with a different design.
Sure.
And, yeah, I mean, but other than that, most, if not, yeah, like, 99% of my carvings are pretty peaceful.
That's awesome. Yeah. Trying to come up with Michelangelo's David here.
Yeah.
This is what we have to work with. That's awesome. Have you dealt with employees at all?
Well, so like I said in the beginning, like me and my dad, started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's old school, right? He knows how to do it better than anybody.
Okay.
And
just ask him or.
Well, that's how we started initially, right?
Okay.
Like he knew how to do like his own designs,
sure.
His own concepts, but when I started, you know, like I adapted new methods that mm-hmm. I was learning through these videos,
mm-hmm.
like simply putting your pinky or keeping contact with the watermelon at all times gives you a much better result.
Okay.
Than not. Having contact with it.
Uh-huh.
So my dad's old school, so he doesn't have contact with it.
Okay.
Now, if I'm teaching somebody else how to do this,
sure.
Then I'm adding a variable.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, don't touch the watermelon.
Oh, sure.
So when I teach is, mm-hmm. you know, what I taught my mom is like, always keep contact with the watermelon.
Because that way they know depth and all that kind of
that
stuff.
That way you
right?
feel the depth. That
sure.
way you feel the precision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take your time. And so this is what happened. You know, he doesn't have contact with the watermelon. Poof, an eye comes out.
Ah.
You know what I mean? And so,
you're like,
and
Dad.
Yeah, like, if you followed my instructions.
Sure.
You would have not done this. And you know, we had this, like, back and forth. And
sure.
that's one of the things with the business, right? Like, how do you work with family?
Mm.
How do you not, like, kill each other in
solve
the process?
Solve that. You're going to solve a lot.
You know? And so sometimes you got to take a step back and be like, hey, Dad, you're busy. You got your own stuff to do.
Sure.
How about I'm going to teach mom how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has been great. She listens.
Sure.
She adapts.
Mm-hmm.
This is why when, you know, we go do design,
yeah.
she'll do the demos
oh, nice.
For me.
Okay.
And I'll do the talking.
Okay.
And it's great because her designs rival mine.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. Because
okay.
she followed my technique.
Sure.
And then we had an uncle come visit for like 2 weeks. And he's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I'm interested in learning how to do this. And I was like, well, whatever. You know, we're bonding anyway. So I showed him how to do it. And yeah, he was coming out with better designs than my father was.
Oh wow!
My father was a little bit jealous.
You know? Shh, secret safe here, right?
So now it's transitioned more into my mom, right?
Okay.
How do we grow a business, retain family cohesiveness,
mm-hmm.
and not hurt anybody's, you know, pride or
yeah,
anything like that?
You want Thanksgivings to be comfortable,
right?
You don't want
right.
people to have there be a battle,
yeah,
especially
yeah.
with knives involved.
Yeah, and now with the addition of fruit bouquets. My mom does the chocolate dipping, the strawberry
mm-hmm.
dipping,
mm-hmm.
and the skewering of the fruit.
Sure.
And if we need more designs, then she'll jump in and do that as well.
Sure.
So it's much, much easier for me to work with my mother than it is to work with my father.
Uh-huh.
But it's one of those things where it's a touchy situation. You don't really want to, like,
sure.
destroy, but you do want to remain adaptive.
Sure. That's yeah. fair. That's
yeah.
fair. So will you add employees that are not family?
Yes.
Or is this pretty exclusive to your family?
Well, right now, because, you know, we're still growing,
mm-hmm.
you know, we still only have like one hotel and we're still working with a lot of, you know, individual clients that come in
sure.
out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
For now, we'll stay with just family.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, like I said, we are going to use automation.
Okay.
To make our process faster.
Sure.
If need be.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, if we need to grow, then definitely we'll start paying people
sure.
to join us.
Sure.
So.
Can you ship this stuff?
At this point, no.
Okay.
Just
the fragility of fruit
yeah,
as it is?
The well, we got to keep it cold
mm-hmm.
At a constant temperature no matter where it's being shipped.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done my research in, like, shipping costs.
Sure.
Or, like, shipping contract deals with
right.
you wherever
right.
delivery services.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, I was inspired by the Shark Tank episode.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. A couple weeks ago.
The kombucha one?
Yeah, the kombucha
whatever?
Kombucha.
Okay.
So she does like a kit.
Okay.
So it's a box. It comes with a jar and like the right bacteria for this thing to grow.
Okay.
That's all she sells. So maybe if I sold something that was like a fruit bouquet kit.
Sure.
Because, A, that would help me because now the bouquet doesn't even need to be finished.
Sure.
Like I just make the design and make it so it doesn't move. And then they just add the skewers.
Okay.
They pluck them in themselves.
Sure.
So that means that my shipping box container is going to be smaller,
mm-hmm.
so it'll save me more money.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because I'm making it an interactive feature for the client,
mm-hmm.
they're having fun because they get to assemble
sure.
this kit.
Sure.
So this is the latest thing in my mind. So any money that I'm making right now is going into that process.
All right.
Like, how can I make a box
sure.
that can contain, you know, 12 strawberries
mm-hmm.
covered in chocolate, mm-hmm. skewered fruit,
mm-hmm.
and keep the watermelon from moving? And
oh,
how do I ship that and make it fun?
And survive the shipping
yeah.
maelstrom,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
that there is. You know, it's interesting. I'm working on this flower delivery website, and I was looking at all the options that you have for flower delivery nationwide.
Yeah.
And some of them have these kits for flowers that they're delivering.
Yeah.
And once you have this, that kind of sounds interesting to me, just because it's a little bit different. But the flowers, they had a kit where it's like you get a dozen roses, but it's all like you got to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I felt like this is half a gift. This isn't the full thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a comparison. What you got going on, it kind of reminds me of what I gave a buddy of mine. It was make your own bourbon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or it came with a barrel and then the rye
oh,
that you
yeah,
put
I've
in there
it.
And
yeah,
stuff like
yeah.
this. Where you kind of, and then you aged it and all this kind of stuff. Where it was more of a, it was an event
right.
to put the thing together rather than just put together some weeds and call that your flower bouquet
yeah.
kind of thing. So it's interesting to compare. What have been some of the other challenges that you've run into since you started?
So we work with the media company
okay.
a while back.
For advertising or?
So they came out with our newest logo.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And they took some photos and made a video of our stuff.
Oh, nice.
And we work with them and everything. And, you know, because I'm a millennial and I learned everything on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I started learning how to, like, edit photos.
Sure.
You know, to put on Instagram or Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up getting a cease and desist warning.
What?
From the same media company. Yeah.
I don't know. Even though you paid them to do the work for
they
your business?
They said that the contract that I didn't sign a contract. I just paid the invoice. But mm-hmm. in the invoice, it said, you know, all rights reserved. And to them, it meant that, you know, even though I had paid for the product.
Yeah.
They
still had exclusive ownership of it?
They still have exclusive ownership of it.
What?
And in the video that they helped me make.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they made it. They took the film.
Mm-hmm.
I brought everything that needed to be filmed or whatever.
Sure.
Because I'm still learning on YouTube. I'm
yeah.
like, I'm going to learn how to do this on my own.
Sure.
I'm not paying.
Oh, otherwise you go broke.
Yeah, I'm not paying them, you know, $60 an hour
mm-hmm.
so that they can do a 15-second clip that I just learned how to do through YouTube.
Sure.
So I started making clips out of it. They made a two-and-a-half-minute video for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, you know, people don't have that attention span.
No.
Let me make 15-second clips.
Mm-hmm.
So I started chopping it up. Or little things like that.
Yeah.
And so then I got that cease and desist letter. And it's like, I was like, well, I'm sorry, but I thought this was mine.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, because any edits you do represent badly on us as our final product. And I was like, but it's not your product. It's mine.
Sure.
And then even when I was making my business cards, you know, I saw a photo. And I was like, well, I'm going to edit this photo.
Mm-hmm.
Make it fit the business card
sure.
format.
Yep.
Add my logo. And, you know, in the email they had sent, it was basically any alterations, any edits, any blah, 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 is an infringement on the contract. And blah,
this is the same company.
Yeah, it's the same company.
What in the world?
Yeah. Luckily, I was hanging out with a lot of entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them had contacts with the lawyer.
Sure.
At Wharf.
Okay.
And so it was like, you know, they did this pro bono work.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically sent them a letter saying this is... what you guys are doing is wrong.
Yeah, go pound sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they finally replied when I was lawyered up, oh, we didn't mean it that way. There was a misrepresentation
sure.
of this and that. And, you know, that it really makes me mad because, you know, there's businesses out there that don't have a lot of money.
Right.
Are just starting off.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a penny pinch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these people out there that just,
right.
just like, oh, you want to alter your video for 15 seconds, that'll
sure.
be $120.
Right.
But I, you know.
No, you can't have that.
No, I can't.
Because that's that. One post, one time, and you need hundreds of those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In the world of social media, you need content, content, content.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to pay really much at all for any piece of content,
yeah.
really on any routine basis at all, you'll go broke.
Right, right.
It's crazy.
And so, you know, to me, I was like, okay, I better read my contracts better.
Mm-hmm.
But also... You know, there's some people out there that just want to take advantage.
Yes.
But there's also a lot of people out there that want to support you and help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so,
mm-hmm.
And so in my briefcase, I actually carry the paperwork with me because the community is small of entrepreneurs. And so mm-hmm. I don't talk badly about them. I don't mention their name or anything sure. like that. You know, but if somebody were to ask me, who is it? Then I would tell them because, you know, hey, if they're still practicing this way.
Right.
I don't want you to go through what I
right.
went through.
Right.
But in that process, you meet so many great people that I say, yeah, this is how you should do it. Or mm-hmm. here's my lawyer friend.
Mm-hmm.
He'll help you out.
Right.
And, you know, it's a sigh of relief that there's a lot of good people out there willing to help you and support you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting you say it. I had a buddy of mine I was helping start a business, and he had a name for his business that was vague-ish, that used a common phrase, I would say a relatively common phrase. It was a photography business, mm-hmm. drone photography. And he had a company send him a letter saying that he owed them money because their name was essentially similar.
Mm-hmm.
It included, like, the word above in it or something like that. So they wanted money and residuals mm-hmm. every year to allow him to use this name.
Yeah.
And he brought this to me, and he's like, what should I do with this? And I'm like, no, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Just ignore it. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
This is somebody trying to get money for doing absolutely nothing.
Right.
And in the end, it cost them a stamp, right? It wasn't even from an attorney or anything like that.
Oh, no.
So I imagine there's some guy just sending out letters to a bunch of companies that have a vague relation in name to his.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just hoping that he'll get a few of them that say, sure.
Yeah.
We'll pay you whatever just to get you off our back kind of thing.
Right.
And in the end, they're just attracting flies, and this guy's making money for being a jerk is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's questionable. Just like you see those little letters you get when you file a domain name.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. they're like, oh, you owe us this money. And really, in the little print, it's like, oh, this is not a bill. You can totally still pay it if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who falls for this stuff, one? Yeah. And two, who's sending this stuff? Yeah. Your ethics have to be just non-existent.
Yeah.
It's just mean.
Yeah. But in the whole process, right,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this can't be legal. There's no way that I need to pay them every time.
Yeah.
Or I need to – they also wanted shout-outs. So anytime I made an Instagram post and I used the photos that they made for me,
yeah,
they wanted me to tag them. And I was mm-hmm. like, no, I'm not going to – no, right. You're not paying me to advertise for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it
mm-hmm.
doesn't work that way. And so throughout the process too, like as a business owner, you don't want to be in an emotional state.
Right.
You know, you don't want right. to start – you don't want to start talking badly about anybody mm-hmm. because then it reflects on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so this is why I made the point. It's like, I don't mention their names. I don't mm-hmm. do this and that.
Sure.
But in the process, right, you have like all this stress because you still have to pay the bills, you still have to sell your product.
Yep.
And you have to balance this whole
right.
And at the time, it was like this whole legal battle, your right. first legal battle, and you're just like,
how big of a rabbit hole is this? Yeah, right. Like, yeah. do I have to go $10,000 in yeah. or $0 in?
And you start looking at lawyer yeah. rates, and you're like,
oh, that goes up fast.
$150-$200 an hour. You're like, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, this is
yeah.
How is this even possible? And right. so. You know, now looking back at it, and you know, it was great that I've met so many people, and
mm-hmm.
I was able to find a lawyer real quick, and
mm-hmm.
you know, one letter took care of it.
That's so crazy that they even tried that, because you think, you know what, just delete the videos, I'll make them myself, and I'll tell the whole world how terrible of a business you are.
Right.
Like, the risk that they're taking is pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Because in the world that we live in, I've talked to a few people on the show here in regards to reviews and feedback and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And how the world of the internet is on the verge of, it's anonymous-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can leave some bad feedback or bad right. reviews.
Right.
And people don't necessarily do some digging to see if those reviews have any foundation.
Yeah.
Did the person actually use the stuff or whatever? They just see that star rating, 1 through 5, where you at?
Mm-hmm.
And oh, you're 3.5. Ooh, you must be just terrible.
Right, right.
When maybe it was just a few bad people that had a bad day and they left some bad reviews, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So weird. In the world that we live in, where I guess it cuts both ways that way.
Yeah.
Interesting. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about was, I guess we got a little bit of time here. What made you decide to actually go off and make this a business rather than just a hobby?
Because
you could have just carved stuff for your friends and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think it was because it's empowering. I think throughout my entire life, you know, I've had a lot of people believe in me.
Sure.
You know, I came from the inner city of L.A.
Mm-hmm. Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I grew up in Los Angeles, California.
Nice.
I earned a leadership merit-based scholarship to attend UW-Madison.
Oh, very cool.
So full ride to come to UW-Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, I got a degree in chemistry. And, you know, throughout the whole thing, all stages in my life, I've always had people to be supportive of me, and they mm-hmm. always believed in me more than I believed in myself.
Sure, fair. That's awesome.
And when this business opportunity came up, you know, from going to YouTube videos to actually making a product,
mm-hmm.
I said to myself, you know, what if I start believing in myself more than those people?
Ah.
And, you know,
there's a huge question.
It became more empowering for me.
Sure.
Because at that point, I hold responsibility for everything.
Yeah.
The success, the failure Phenomenal. Of this business. And so it empowers me.
Sure. You know? I like it.
And so whenever we do sell a bouquet or we do sell a centerpiece,
mm-hmm.
it's just like, can you believe like where this,
sure.
you know, where this is at now?
All that's had to happen for that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think back like the first two centerpieces that we sold, how we had that family meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're selling, you know, a lot more.
Sure.
And now we're not even like, we don't have any more family meetings because we're like, oh, you only sold this much this week. Like
you only sold two.
Yeah. You need to sell more. So it's empowering and sure. I love it. And, you know, when going through a lot of entrepreneurs and talking to them, and, you know, you realize, yeah, you want to give stuff to your friends,
mm-hmm.
but also your real friends that are in the entrepreneurial world will pay full price.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's great. And so it's just like when you build, you know, yourself up, you build people around you up,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
you know, just selling.
No, it's interesting that you say that because I've learned over the course of time, it's taken me the better part of a decade to learn that before I used to think that you could barter or used to trade X for Y kind of thing. And that just means that you're not necessarily appreciating the value of what the person's offering you, right?
Right, right.
Which means that if that's the way you buy, that's the way that you're expecting people to buy from you.
Right.
And if that's the way you're expecting people to buy from you, it's very tough to stay in business that way.
Yeah.
So usually I don't offer to barter at all.
Right.
You just say, like, yeah, you like this. I like what you got. I'm just going to pay you. You pay me. And we don't have to dink around with this. Oh, what is the value of this? How can we trade this right. or anything? It's just, I treat you just like any other customer because that's about as good as I can treat anybody.
Right.
Right. There's not really any room for improvement beyond that because I treat them as best as possible.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I do too. So when we do advertising and do anything like that, mm-hmm. you know, we always focus on local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, how they work with us, how sure. we vibe with them,
mm-hmm.
What the contract says
right.
as well.
Yeah. The minor details.
Yeah. And so, you know, the first offer they give, that's usually the one that we take, you know,
sure.
we'll take it, you know,
nice.
And not haggle on the mm-hmm. price anymore because like you said, it's just the price, mm-hmm. the value of the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. What have been, what is the worst decision you have made in business and what was the result?
Well, the worst decision I made was not analyzing the market.
Ah.
You know, in the beginning.
Sure.
Because we were thinking, man, we're going to have so many weddings, so many quinceañeras.
Sure.
We're going to be so busy. Like,
sure.
Great. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. How many have you done?
What? Weddings?
Or quinceañeras?
Zero.
Zero. Okay.
Zero to date, too, as well. Zero.
Hurtful. Okay.
Awful.
Forget I asked.
No. Well, that's right. That's the right question to ask. So, yeah, I mean, that was the thing. Had we not bought the Cambros,
mm-hmm.
the thermal boxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we were going to do these weddings, so we sure. needed to transport our stuff. Had we not bought the tongs, the plates, the risers,
sure.
the tables, the extra knives, the fountains,
mm-hmm.
we would already be, you know, plus.
Sure.
You know.
Making money, just rolling into just like rolling Scrooge McDuck.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we would already be up there.
Sure.
But no. The whole thing cost, you know, us around, I want to say like $7,000 or $8,000.
Okay, sure.
Because those fountains were about $1,200 each.
That's a
chocolate fountains.
That's quite the fountain.
I know.
Yeah. All right.
You know, but had we done our research better,
sure,
we would have essentially, and this is the honest truth, we would have bought four knives.
All right.
For a grand total of $170.
Okay, sure.
That's it.
Barrier to entry is low. In regards to equipment.
In regards to equipment, sure. super low.
Skill set, different story.
Skill set. If you factor in our packaging cost and everything, mm-hmm. which we are actually brought down by 50%, add, let's just say, per package unit,
sure.
$250.
All right.
So $172.50 sure.
All right.
would have been our initial investment.
That's awesome.
And we would be completely up by now.
You know what I love about what you got going on is that I would see a lot of people in your situation just making it a hobby kind of thing. But you're, one, making a business. But more importantly is that you're tackling it as a business person would tackle any other business. Mm-hmm. Or you're looking at, okay, these are my expenses. This is my marketing. These are my results of that marketing. We got to change because we're doing this and that.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can cut these costs, make this a little better. It's just constant improvement.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, how many people that you have... I mean, even thinking about floral shops, how many of them are really doing what you're doing in regards to looking at right. it from a business point of view instead of just, this is a fun job kind of thing?
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, because I've seen that, they're not really innovative. I mean, mm-hmm. they have their product and what it is.
Sure.
And so I see that as an opportunity for me
mm-hmm.
where I can go up to them and it's like, look, you
sure.
you have these great flowers,
mm-hmm.
but maybe if we did this.
Sure. Something different.
And sold our product.
Yeah.
You can just sit back, collect your money, and
yep.
I'll be glad to make the designs.
Right, you know? Right.
So,
and yeah, brick and mortar, that's one of the challenges that they have. Yeah. So I would think that they'd be happy to.
We just gotta get in front of the right person.
Sure.
The thing with like hotels, like we'll talk to one manager will say no, we'll talk to another manager, they'll say no, and then we finally get to the fourth or fifth one, and that manager is like, we'll give it a shot.
Sure.
And that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because once it's in and they get the audience reaction,
yeah.
then it's no longer should we, it's how many should we.
Yeah.
So that's a better question. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Eder, I appreciate you stopping by here. This has been a lot of fun. I feel like you got a good thing going with your business.
Thank you.
I feel like growth is inevitable. And yep. I'm excited to see what you got going on next.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to see what these things are, where is there somewhere locally they could just see them in a lobby or something like that?
No, we have a lot of videos online.
Okay, awesome.
We have a lot of videos online, and we are going to start doing more expos like the SBA.
The SMBA, awesome, yep. on January 17th at the Coliseum Bar.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So if we can get in there, we'll be showcasing our designs, our centerpieces, and our fruit bouquets as well.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call Shared Receptionist Services, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Eder Val of Artisan Fruit. Eder, just one more time. The website?
ArtisanFruit.com.
Awesome. ArtisanFruit.com. Awesome. And then phone number?
608-520-2119.
Awesome. It's a perfect way to make a perfect party even better. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.